So it really is very unique when we look at the story of the crucifixion and then, of course, the resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the same story of the resurrection. And yet, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell a different story of the resurrection. They all come at it from a different point of view. Mark's story of the resurrection of Jesus is one of unbelief, disbelief, and the reiteration of Jesus to believe. And Luke's wonderful story of the resurrection is one that's saying, this is what the prophets always talked about. It really is a historical document. And he basically says, here is what Moses talked about. Here's what the law talked about. The resurrection is something that all the prophets talked about and the Psalms talked about. But Matthew and John come at it from a particularly unique point of view. I was thinking about preaching all four today, but we're here for a long time. And I know Easter dinner is waiting. So we'll just touch on a couple of points. I hope that we can get to John. I want to spend some time in Matthew. I was saying to John Roach just a moment ago, I said, you know, it's so interesting to me. I'm a slow learner. It doesn't matter how many times I read these stories of the resurrection that something pops out and I go, I can't believe I didn't know that. And I didn't know that. And I want to share that from Matthew's point of view today. So I haven't asked really people to follow with PowerPoint because I said the Holy Spirit's driving this sermon today. I've changed my mind about four different times, so we'll just go with the flow. But in Matthew chapter 27, when it comes to the point of Jesus dying, it says this in Matthew 27 and verse 50. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He died. Now listen to this. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. Now watch this. And the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came up out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Isn't that the coolest thing? That when Jesus was raised from the dead, it wasn't just him. All of a sudden, people started coming up out of their tombs, loved ones, holy ones. And can you just imagine the knock on the door of maybe a child, of maybe a mother or father, and here's their loved one whom they buried. And they're saying, I'm here. And there's no indication other than the fact that they weren't there. These weren't ghosts. Jesus came back to life as a human being. In fact, some people thought he was a ghost. And Jesus said, here, touch me, feel me, I'm alive. And here are people who come out of the tombs when Jesus comes out of the tombs. We don't know how many people totally, completely, Jesus appeared to. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to some 500 people before he ascended back up into heaven. So there were millions of people in the world even back then. So all of these other people that we don't have names attached to who were dead are now going home, walking the streets again. Can you imagine how people must have went, I was just at that guy's funeral. How? We got to talk about this. Well, wasn't she buried just a while ago? What's going on? And the conversation would have flown. And maybe some of them said, I don't know. I was sick and now here I am. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Jesus. Because please hear this. When Jesus died, death died. When Jesus was raised from the dead, death no longer has the ultimate word. Jesus proved it, and so did a bunch of other people who came out of the tombs. We're alive. Death died at the resurrection. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? The resurrection makes sense of everything. All of life filters into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not just the physical resurrection that makes it so profound. It means we have a new way of thinking, a new way of living. It's sometimes called righteousness. Recently at Alan Jones' funeral, Brian Bowden shared a lot of wonderful things. And one of the things that Brian talked about is this word righteous or righteousness. And I loved his definition. He talked about righteousness meaning having a right relationship, right way of thinking, a right way of living, the right way of looking at the life of Christ. And as Christ spoke and as Christ lived, that's that righteousness. And in righteousness, Christ comes into the world to set things right. And in his resurrection, it's forwarding that righteousness that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might be called the righteousness of God. And there's probably not one person here who ever feels righteous. But Jesus said, yes, you are, because I'm all over you. This is the resurrection. Everything makes sense. A new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of honoring what life can be all about. So at the beginning of Matthew, there is something that then takes place. Let me just read to you the story. I'm going to skip down to verse 62 if you're following in your Bible, Matthew 27. It says this: the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he, Jesus, was still alive, that deceiver said, they're calling Jesus a deceiver, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and then tell everybody that he has been raised. This last deception will be worse than the first. So my question was, what was the first deception? Well, the first deception was Jesus answering Pilate and others, are you the Son of God? And Jesus says, yes, it is as you say. As far as they were concerned, when Jesus said he is the Messiah, that's a deception. And the second deception would be that he'll be raised from the dead, because there's no way he's ever going to be raised from the dead. If he's not there, it's because his disciples stole the body. They were not going to believe. And I don't know about you, but I can't be too hard on these people. Really? Somebody coming back from death? How is that even possible? And yet, he was trying to teach this to his disciples, wasn't he? Jesus wasn't the first one to be raised from the dead. In fact, Jesus was raising people from the dead. Remember, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead? We remember the story of Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, after he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus stood up and boldly proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. No, Jesus. You mean you raised Lazarus from the dead? No, I'm telling you, I am the resurrection and the life. I give resurrection. I give life. Colossians 1 and John 1 and 1 John 1. Everything that was made, Jesus made. Life, and now new purpose to life, where death no longer reigns. And that was a message that people couldn't comprehend. Even his own disciples couldn't comprehend it, as Mark says. So watch what happens next. Verse 65, "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Well, you probably know the story. Chapter 28, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone," I think this is so cool, "and sat on it." Now, I don't know what that looked like, but I think it's pretty cool. Here's the stone rolled away, and this angel just jumps up, kind of sits on the tomb, and crosses his leg and just kind of waits around. This angel of the Lord had no problem with the resurrection. They knew who Jesus was and is. And so the angel just sits there. His appearance, it says, was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. And now I have told you all of this." It's a powerful, powerful message. Have you ever asked the question, well, if Jesus was raised from the dead, why did the stone need to be rolled away? Now, what's the big deal about that? And we probably already have the answer. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let you and I in, so we could see he's not there. Matter of fact, Luke records the story of Peter. And this is such an interesting story. In Mark's story of the resurrection, in Mark chapter 8, in Mark chapter 9, and in Mark chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples specifically what's going to happen to him. That he's going to be arrested, that he's going to be beaten, that he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles, that he is going to die on the cross. And of course, that's when Peter said, no, no, because people couldn't comprehend of a Messiah who would die. But 3 days later, he said, I will rise again. And he says he spoke plainly to his disciples about this. And when the women go to the empty tomb, see that he's not there, run back and tell Peter and John, and we'll look at this in just a moment, they run to the tomb, and Luke records it this way. And Peter looks inside, and he wonders what any of this means. He couldn't fathom it. It was beyond his comprehension. And for many people, that's still the truth. And so Jesus is blunt when he does come up from the grave, and he does meet with the people, and he does come alongside Thomas and a few other people. And I love these words. He looks at them, and he talks straight. And here's what he says. Stop doubting. Believe. And if Jesus says to us, stop doubting, believe, then I think we better believe. The one who makes everything makes sense. In fact, the one who makes everything wants us to stop doubting, because Jesus doesn't doubt us. Stop doubting and believe, because Jesus believes in us. Have you ever stopped to think that each one of us could have been somebody else? But we are who we are. That's not by chance. The Bible says that God knew us before we were born, and there's never been a person like you, and there never will be. And he says to each one of us, stop doubting. Believe. I believe in you. And maybe to wrap this up is to go to John and watch the belief that he has in someone who had no belief in herself. John chapter 20 is a cool story, and I'll get on warp speed here now. John chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now remember, she came running. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other apostle outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Thank you, John. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? And she said, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking that Jesus was the gardener. I know I've shared this before. She was right. He is the gardener. Go back to the Garden of Eden, when the garden was perfect. Jesus made that garden. In fact, he's been gardening our lives ever since. Thinking he was the gardener, that's when John gives you the wink, wink, nod, nod. Oh, he's always been the gardener. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. I'll take care of his body because I know he's dead. And Jesus said to her, her name, Mary. If this message will ever mean anything to any of us, I think it's got to be you and I, in our own mind, standing there and hearing God say your name. Just as he said when he was raised, Mary, let your name be heard. Because that's what God wants. And she turned toward him and cried out, Rabboni, which means teacher. And he said, don't hold on to me. I have not ascended to the Father. Go and tell my brothers and sisters. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In other words, Mary, you and I are going to be together forever. But right now, I've got a job for you to do. Go and tell. Go and tell. But there will be people who won't believe. And Jesus said, you tell them this. Tell them what I told other people. Stop doubting. Believe. I am the resurrection and the life. I always have been. I am. And I always will be. So let's conclude the message today the way we started. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we'll do it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.